Good morning and welcome to the service this morning. When Leroy was talking about being debtors, I had this verse going through my mind and I wasn't quick enough. But probably why it was going through my mind is because it was in the scripture that Davey read this morning. It was, "Brethren, we are debtors." As I was sort of thinking of that, we were talking about debtors. And why do you think Paul said that? "Brethren, we are debtors." And then he said, "Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." And then when Bruce gave his comment on what the Lord Jesus did for us, I thought that made sense, that we are debtors. And we're not debtors to the flesh, but we're debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say, well, it was free. We don't owe anybody anything. It was free. Salvation is a free gift. But I would still maintain that if somebody saved you from a terrible death, say here in this life, they saved you from a horrible death, painful death, suffering, and they gave their own life to save you from that death, that you would probably feel like you were a debtor to them all of your life. And so I would say that, brethren, we are debtors. We're not debtors to the flesh, but we are debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be my my thought on that. And maybe that's what Paul had in mind there. So that one thing I thought of with that, I wasn't quick enough to say at Sunday school, but I'll say it now. Good to see that Abner's back. Abner, if it goes better for you standing up, you could stand up here. I could sit down there by Anna. Okay. I just thought I'd check. But it's good to see you back, and we were praying for you, and I hope the Lord gives you the desire of your heart, and that's probably to be made whole again. Pain is not a thing that any of us look forward to. Yeah, Joel. Yeah, go ahead. I have it all the way over. Totally bad. All right, we'll try that. Okay, our Sunday school lesson, we talked about the power of the gospel. And sorry, Leroy, I didn't study the Sunday school lesson like I should have. But when I saw what I knew what I was going to speak about, and the Sunday school lesson tied in real good. The gospel, God's word is more more powerful than anything that I can say. So if I can point you to toward the gospel this morning, that would be the most that would be the best thing I could do. So it's more, God's word is can do more than anything that I can say. And what I'm going to talk on this morning for a little bit here is who would you say is the most influential person that ever lived? Bob. Yeah, I would say too. There's been a lot of influential men down through the years, but like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, Jesus is still, his power and the power of the gospel is still having effect on people's lives today and changing people's lives. And that's what I'm going to talk about is influence. The influence that we can, well, I have 3 points, and the basic definition of influence that I like is the power to affect others. Simple definition, but Jesus is still influencing, has influential power on people today, or his power is still changing lives. So he has influence on people today. And now, no matter how young or old we may be, we are still influencing people in one way or another. Young people are older people, and there are many men that are very influential in society. And the more, how could I say it? The more influential you are, you have a bigger following of people. When you do something, it affects a lot more people than just, say, you and I. We don't have maybe a huge following of people like some people do. I thought of like the election, for the primary election that's going on right now. Those, what is it, four men that are, they're going all over the country trying to influence people to vote for them. And some of them are very influential speakers, and if they have somebody that gets behind them that's very influential in society and says, I'm going to endorse this candidate, then you'll have this whole group of people moving toward them. So you can see there's different influences in all aspects of our life and society. And my question is, are we influencing people for good or not so good? Because we have the ability to do both. We have the ability to influence people in the right way, and we also have the ability to influence them in the wrong way. And some influence is a direct effort to persuade you. Influence sometimes has the idea of trying to convince somebody or persuade. Some influence is a direct effort to persuade you. Well, another part of the definition of the word influence is just simply, I think it was one of the dictionary definitions was just a power that affects people without any apparent effort. In other words, you are influencing people without even trying to, if that's be another way to say it. Simply because you are yourself, and what's inside of you is coming out. The more people learn to know you, it's made manifest. And so that influences people, whether you are even trying to influence them. So that's another aspect of the word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." So he said that. He said, be not deceived, because people think, well, I can do this, or I can be around this person and get away with it. And Paul says, it will affect you. So influence is the power to affect others, and it will happen to us. And the question I have is, how can I influence people for good? And I somewhat answered that in saying that if you have a good character, you are influencing people for good with no apparent effort. And so I have three areas of influence I want to consider, and they are as follows. It is my family. So for me, I influence my family. And then the second one would be my church. And that would be like the brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the third one would be my community. So how do you influence, or are we influencing, which I said before, we are. So we are influencing our family. We're influencing the people in our church. And we're also influencing our community. Or if we're not, we should be. So we'll talk about that. Now, my family, my wife and children, I influence them. And also women. James has been speaking about women. And women have a huge influence on men as far as, in other words, when I was single, I had things I liked, things I didn't like. But now that I'm married for, 12 years? Some things that I did not like before, I now like. And some things that I thought were really cool before I was married, not so cool anymore. So my wife may have influenced me in, I know she did in a lot of ways. So, Heather, am I doing all right? Heather told me the other, I was studying, that was Friday. We were talking about playing a game in the evening, and I said, better not. I have to do some studying. And Heather said, well, what are you studying for? And I said, well, I got to preach. And then I said, are you going to listen and pay attention? And she got a Heather look and said, well, if it's interesting. And so I have to keep it interesting, and I'm gonna like to keep the attention of the children, but sometimes it's a little hard. So if you listen, all you children listen, I might ask you a couple questions. So if Heather's not paying attention, I'm no longer interesting. So one thing I thought of, and this is for the children maybe. Now, I thought of Adam and Eve in the garden. I said my wife has a big influence on me. And do you children think that Eve had any influence on Adam? Or did he think he did? Winston? You think he did? Yeah. I read that in Genesis 3, and I don't know, I'm not going to read it, but if you notice in Genesis 3, think of the different influences. First you had God that said to Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree. And they were very convinced that they were not to eat of this tree. Because as soon as the serpent came, Eve told him, we're not to eat of this tree. So God persuaded them by just saying it, that they were not to eat of this tree or else they would die. And they believed it. So, and then another influence, so you had God to Adam and Eve. They were convinced. And then you had the serpent to Eve. The serpent's influence to Eve was, hath God said, you should not eat of this tree? So she had an effect on Eve. She questioned what God said. And then Eve started to consider it. Well, and I was thinking of it. That's something to listen to a serpent or do what he said over what God said. It seems kind of strange, but it was the influence. The serpent was right there. And God wasn't that right there close to Eve at that time. So, and then you had Eve's influence to Adam with what I said first. I think, and I believe Eve, it sounded like in the book of in Genesis 3 that Eve had ate the fruit and Adam didn't. Said she took and ate the fruit, then gave to her husband. So Adam, to the children, she was probably sitting there eating the fruit and being an influence to Adam, saying, "Come on, Adam, this is good fruit." This, and Adam saw it, and I think she was an influence to him. And so she persuaded him, and it didn't sound like it was too hard to persuade him either. He just took it and ate it. So Adam was probably looking at Eve, and she wasn't dropping over and dying like God said, so he thought he could eat the fruit too. So with thinking of our family, I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, and read this. Six, one, two, about nine, I believe. If anybody has any comments or anything you'd like to share or something I missed as we go along, just raise your hand. I don't have to do all the talking. But this, relating to our family, this is a good scripture, I thought. And we get down to verse 7, and it almost... You think of influence, the world would probably call this brainwashing, because it almost seems like what God said here, it almost seems like you should, seems like the world would call it you're brainwashing your children to think a certain way. But I'll read this scripture. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments with which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And this is in the verse I want then. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Okay. So if you want your children to be influenced or to get something, here's the way you do it. Teach them diligently. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them upon your hand and put it between your eyes and write it on the posts of your doors. So that, the world would definitely say that's brainwashing. You know, that's all you talk about to your children. But I think for me, I have a long way to go. Like to tell the scriptures to your children every experience you have, to bring it somehow, bring God into the conversation, or give glory to God. And I believe that's what he was telling them to do. So, and the reason he says to your children, because in studying, I sort of came up with, and I didn't read any book or anything like that. Well, there's some for really popular book about influencing people and making friends or something. I didn't read that, but probably would have some good things. But I just, as I was thinking, some of this stuff came to me. So it might be, if it sounds pretty elementary, that's because I thought it up probably. But I might not have thought all this stuff up. But one thing that I observed is really easy. It's easier to influence somebody young, a young child, than it is to influence somebody older. And that's why it says here, your children, you teach them diligently when they're young. And then that can be an influence on them during their life. And you've heard already, you know, parents say, well, I don't want my children hanging around so-and-so because he's just a bad influence. I don't want him to hang around with him. And that's, I believe in that too, to a certain degree. But what would you say, who would you say has the greatest ability to influence your children? I mean, this is something real for me because I have children and I'm at that stage in my life. But what or who has the greatest ability to influence your children, would you say?
Your mother.
Yeah, I was thinking their parents, yeah. The people that are around them the most. And if they are always over at the neighbor kid's house, then I believe that is that will be a bad influence. You don't always want them. They're spending a lot of their time with somebody that will be a bad influence on them. So in that degree, but if your children are around somebody that you may not really appreciate, but it's not for, they're not spending a lot of time with them, hopefully, I guess this should work, but you, the parent, have the greatest potential, I believe, for influencing your children. Now, you may not take advantage of that, the power or the influence that you can be to your children, and I think that's what these scriptures in Deuteronomy are telling us. If you're not actively involved in your child's life, then if you don't give them time and you don't give them love, then you may not have the power to influence them. Because as I studied that, I kind of came up with two factors that you can use to influence people, or your children in this case, would be the time you spend with them and the love that you give them. And then they will have the respect for you and you will have a positive influence on them. The bottom line, the closer you are to your child, I believe, the more influence you can have. Just like that's why a husband and wife influence each other so much, is because they're very close to each other. You know, what my wife thinks, well, then I stop and consider, well, maybe that does have an influence on me. You know, maybe that is the way it is, and the same with me to her. Now, we didn't even cover what if your influence as a parent is a bad influence, you know. And I don't believe we'll go into that. But what I said before was, if you're a godly parent and you're trying to influence your children for the right, because parents do tend to raise children like themselves. So if you have any bad habits, your children will pick them up. So if you have any that you don't want your children to do, you might want to just quit doing them right now, and then your children will not be as likely to pick them up. Okay, the second point is my church, and I have a scripture that I like to read in relation to that. And the brothers, how can I influence the people in my church? And the brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy 4 for this scripture. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now this is a King James, but in other translations, I don't know how many, but different translations say in verse 12, be thou an example of the believers. It would say, be thou an example to the believers in all these things, which would be in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So an example is a good influence, is the same thing as an example, basically. And verse 15, that thy profiting may appear to all. So it was an influence for the good. And it's encouraging to see people, you know, that you go to church with all the time, your fellow believers, being faithful, being a faithful example in these areas. And that does influence you to also be faithful. So that's what I had on be an example to your church. And then to be an example to my community. And I say my community because that's where we find ourselves. You know, you can talk about going out and witnessing to people, you know, other parts of the world, being a missionary. But my community, right where I live, the world right here where I live, I think we ought to be an influence. The influence of a Christian on this part of the world. That's what we're called to be. And I'd like to read Matthew 5, scripture with this, that I thought went real good with this. So Matthew 5, right where, see, Joe preached on Matthew 5, was it last Sunday? And I think about where he stopped. I will start Matthew 5, verse 13. Now think of this as I read, the influence you can be to the world, to your community, for good. Matthew 5, 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? I want the children to listen to this too, because I might ask you some questions. So all you children, listen up. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, any of the children tell me what did Jesus say that we are? We are two things. Put your hand up if you know. He said, ye are this and ye are this. Morgan, you know? Okay, that was one of them. You're the salt. Anybody, any other children know the other one? Nobody else was listening. How about the big people? What's the other one? Light. Okay. You're the salt and you're light. So Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth and ye are the light of the world. Now, okay, I'll pick on the children again. What does salt do? Why do you use salt? Anybody use salt? I use salt on my eggs and other food. Why do you use salt? I'm going to start calling. Oh, there, Winston. Yeah, it tastes better. I agree. It tastes better to use salt. Okay, why do you use a flashlight at night when you go out? Why do you use a flashlight? Any children? Winston, why do you use a flashlight? Because it's dark out. Are you scared of the dark? Oh, you're not. Yeah, neither am I. Okay, we use salt. It makes things taste better. It enhances the flavor. And we use light because we want to see where we're going now. Does salt have an influence on your food? Or does light do something to the darkness? Does it have an effect? Does light have an effect on the darkness? I mean, when we go out at night, when Heather goes out to shut the chicken house door at night, she needs a light. Well, she won't even go with a light, but you need a light to see where you're going. It has an effect on the darkness. You can shine, you can see. Okay, now Jesus said we're salt and we're light. Light reveals and exposes. You are the light, Jesus said, indicating that there's darkness out there. So he said, you're the light. And now, pick on the children again, unless they don't know. There ain't too many that are raising their hands. There aren't too many. Okay, what did Jesus say about salt? If it no longer tastes salty, if salt no longer tastes salty, what did Jesus say about it? Morgan knows. Anybody else know? Winston knows. Okay, Morgan. Okay. You throw it out. It is, let me see the exact words here. I just said it's no good. You might say it's good for nothing. Okay. So salt no longer tastes salty, it's good for nothing. If it has no taste, and before we said that the taste that salt gives is like the influence, okay? It's useless. If it has no taste, it's useless. Okay. Now, Jesus is saying this in the context of making a difference in the world. Or a Christian in the world. He's saying that in the context. So, is Jesus possibly saying that if you have no influence on the world and on your community, that you're useless? That kind of hurts. But God help us to have an influence and not to be useless in our community. And again, I said before about having love. If you have love, and it works the same way, I think, with our community or people of the world. If they feel that you have love for them, you have greater capacity to influence them. So, okay, just a little recap. Go back to the 3 points, my family. Why should I be a good influence to my family? Is because they are the people that are the closest to me, and I have therefore have a lot of power to influence them. And my church, it's because to see brothers and sisters that are setting a faithful example is encouraging for the rest of the church. That's a good reason to be faithful. It's not the primary reason to please God, and that's what God called us to, but to be faithful in your church does encourage others. And in my community, Christians are to be the good, to have a taste, to have be like salt and to influence, like salt influences your food for good. We are to influence the world for good. And if we have no taste, we're useless, basically. So if we have no influence on our community, so that's I need that. I want to have an influence on the people that people we work for, you know, everybody, people that come into your shop, whatever you do for a living, to make a difference in their lives and be a good influence. And now, in closing, I asked the question at the beginning, how can I influence people for good? And I think a simple answer would be to be, remember I said, and one part of the definition is you influence people with no apparent effort, just by who you are. So I would like you to consider, if you're controlled by the Spirit of God, you're influencing people without any apparent effort, because God is controlling you. And sometimes it takes effort also to influence people, direct effort. But part of the word, the root word of influence, does anybody know, if you're fluent in a certain language, you're very fluent, what does that mean? Anybody want to?
Good at it.
Yeah, you're good at it. What's another? I say I could speak French or Spanish. I mean, Godoy's, they're fluent in Spanish. What does that mean, James? Yeah. What the word goes back to, fluent has the idea of just to flow. It just flows easy. They don't even have to think about, how do I say apple now? Okay, that's the way I would talk Spanish, you know. Okay, you think of the English word for it, and then you translate it into Spanish. Well, if you're fluent in a language, it just flows out of your mouth, because it's part of you. Okay, so influence just flows out of your life. It's part of you. If you're influenced by the Holy Spirit, it flows out of your life and affects your family and your community and your church. Yeah, Dad.
Someone told me one time, talking about Pennsylvania Dutch, you're not good at a language unless you think in that language.
Yeah.
So I think I asked the folks here maybe whether they think in English or think in Spanish. I guess that's if you're trying to learn a language.
Yeah. Yeah, but part of the word fluent, and the word influence, it just flows out. The language just flows out. And then in 2 Timothy, I believe, it talks about, Paul writes to Timothy about being influenced. He doesn't use the word influence, I don't believe. Let me just turn to that. Second Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. But from a child he was influenced by his godly family and by the holy scriptures, it says. And so he knew it from a child. And so I think an answer to my question, how can you influence people for good, is to be controlled by the Spirit of God, and also to be influenced by the Holy Scriptures, like it says in 2 Timothy. So, all right. Thank you for your attention. I'll turn the time over to James or whoever is going to get up.